Lovely cushion header. But Gerrard!
We're here on the LFC couch with a brand new squad report special. This is a dangerous show, Pete. People already know what the show is about because they can see the title as they've downloaded it. My name's George, obviously. We've got Peter, the coach, Kafinas here. And we are doing a squad report on Jordan Henderson. And like I said, it's a dangerous show. So if you don't like dangerous content, switch off now. Seriously, we don't even care about listens here. Don't care about... Nothing. If you do not like dangerous content that is going to scare you, switch off right now.
It could get ugly.
It could get ugly.
But it may not.
Because the topic we're discussing, he seems to be some polarizing thing on social media everywhere. I don't think it is, actually. I think it's classic 2018. It's classic nowadays where you either hate something or you love something. But here we go. We've got Jordan Henderson. We're going to talk about... you know, how he is as a player, what he contributes, what his flaws are, what his strengths are, you know, pros, cons, all that sort of thing. And just get down just in the nitty gritty of what makes Jordan Henderson as a player. What is he? And, you know, what's all the furor about? Yeah, I love that word, furor.
This is definitely a Twitter-inspired pod.
It's Twitter-inspired, but look, the whole thing about the squad report is we pick a player or we pick players or, you know, a player's position or... We're mostly talking about footballers and what they're doing. Because me and Pete used to play in the same team. We used to play, what was that, MPL 2?
Yeah.
That would have been MPL 2?
Yeah, well, second division,
then. Second division in New South Wales, in Australia's football leagues once upon a time. I didn't think I was that good. Pete was very good. I don't know how I made the team, to be honest. I think I was just fast. He signed me the first day, by the way. He's just like, I want you to sign for my team. I'm like, why? But yeah, this is Jordan Henderson, and get on your marks, get set, go. This is us. We're talking about Henderson.
How do we start this?
So basically, Jordan Henderson signed a new deal. It's 5 years, so it takes him through to 2023.
Which obviously over his 30s.
Over his 30s. He's the club captain. He's most people's preferred number six starting player. Last season, we did have Emre Can, but it was revealed now that Jurgen Klopp knew that Emre Can was never going to sign a new deal from day one. He said, I'm not signing a new deal. He knew from the preseason. Yeah, he still kept on lying in the press saying, it's not sorted yet. He can always sign for us and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, last season we didn't see much of... Me and Pete in particular, I'll admit this, we wanted to see Emre Can at the six.
All day.
We thought he was a better footballer than Jordan Henderson. It's not saying Jordan Henderson's bad. It's just we liked the characteristics... the calmness of someone like Emre Can, someone who can carry the ball, put their foot on it, that sort of thing.
Come under pressure.
But the thing is, Jordan Henderson was the number six last season, and we went to a UEFA Champions League final. He was the captain, and he played. He didn't have many injuries last year. He was managed, and I thought he was really good last season. I thought in the season that he played 13-14, where we go second in the league, we almost win it. It was because of his absence that our title challenge capitulated a little bit. He was so important as that bombing on number eight, as it was, a box-to-box midfielder. Now he's been, you know, told to sit back a little bit more, and he's fine. I think he's a great number six. I think he's really good. I think there's lots of things that he does that are good. I also think there's lots of stuff that he does that are poor. And that's it, you know. But upon signing this deal, this five-year deal, 2023 for the club captain, there seems to be people who celebrate it saying, stuff you fucking Henderson haters.
Yeah.
It's like, where?
Delete your Twitter if you don't celebrate it. Like, so get a life, you fucking idiots.
The thing is, at the very start of this, the worst people in the world here are the Henderson haters. People who go out on Twitter and say, this guy is the worst footballer ever. He doesn't deserve to be captain. People are stupid. Very quickly, these people are stupid, but they're idiots. Don't get, you know, 60,000 fucking retweets and whatever on a positive post about Henderson, because you are screaming at or back at a bunch of negative people that have got nothing to do with it. They're idiots. If someone says Jordan Henderson is not a good player, they're clearly stupid. Like, he's a good footballer. I think he is. He's just, you know, on the other side of the spectrum. Why do we have to sit here and over-celebrate something. It's just, he signed a 5-year deal. Good. Yeah, fine. Okay. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I think the people that over-celebrate it are worse than the people who hate it.
Really?
I really do.
Well, because... you know what? It's that same thing of who's worse, like the person who commits the crime or the other person who commits the crime in spite of the person who's committed the crime.
The chicken
it's
that and sort the of egg, thing. Whatever it is.
Exactly.
But I think...
I can say that.
Like, if you look at this Mark Gorbridge, for example, that United guy, that spastic that sits there and on his thing, everyone's blown him up to be something where he's just... And like, why is someone like him celebrated and used as like some Twitter figure now?
Yeah, and it's like you say celebrated, but it's almost like... It is a form of celebration because you are bringing attention to a troll.
Exactly right, and it's the same with people who over talk about Henderson's one. Let's say you know he can make 30 million passes one match, and it could be one misplaced pass, and this one person has gone and said that's the pass that cost us the game, and all of a sudden this guy has got this super opinion because it's been retweeted by a million other people who are super pro Henderson, and now this guy's been blown up.
Yeah,
you're promoting negativity.
Exactly.
If you love Jordan Henderson, just like I love certain players that other people in the world don't, I don't sit there on Twitter and beat the drum until it happens.
And the thing is, you can beat the drum and be positive. You can say, I like Henderson. But it's funny, in all these tweets, it's fuck the haters. Fuck these haters. It's like, they're not like right in the head. Don't give them attention like that. And like Pete said, I think that the haters are bad, but yeah, it's also not good to get out there and then bring attention to these idiots by saying it. Because you know what happens now? What happens is the positive message. So this is what the positive message then becomes this over dramatized. And by the way, it's more positive than it needs to be. What it makes is it makes the signing of Jordan Henderson probably the greatest bit of business that has happened for the last 5 years, whereas re-signing Mohamed Salah was the greatest bit of business that's ever happened. And there seems to be more positivity pushed towards Henderson's re-signing than what Salah's was. Well, Salah's was, you know, there was a lot there, obviously, but there's way more energy around this one, whether it's negative, positive, even both of them clashing together. There's just way more... Yeah, like furor, that's the word I was using before.
It's like this shitstorm of just stupid opinions, to be honest. And now, and this is frustrating the daylights out of me because it's just, it's over the top. The whole thing is over the top.
And what you're saying is saying that it's like this is the greatest deal in the world is also a stupid opinion.
Not a stupid opinion, but it's not the greatest deal in the world either. Or rather, Mane signing an extension is more important than him signing an extension.
Yeah, and there should be no problem. So now Pete's just said that. It doesn't mean he hates Jordan Henderson. It's just he says that Sadio Mane is a more important player.
Going forward, yes.
There are some people who would actually argue with that and say that Jordan Henderson is actually one of the most important pieces of the jigsaw to this Liverpool side.
Yes, but there's more to that than that opinion, though. Jordan Henderson is very, very important to the club. Maybe more important to the club off the pitch than on it.
Yeah, no, he is. Absolutely.
You know, I think
do you have to find a place for someone like that in the side? Is that sort of like a sacrifice?
I'm not saying... sell him. I'm not saying sign him for the next 50 years. All I'm saying is Jordan Henderson is very important for the club.
Yep.
Off the pitch. I think more so off the pitch than on it because if you look at our dressing room, if you look at the discipline within the squad itself, we barely get yellow cards. We barely in the media for the wrong things. I think Jordan Henderson has a massive part to play in all that.
Hmm.
I think him, Milner, and a few of the senior players have done more than... The word is beyond superb. I think what they've done... for this club is you can never take that away from them.
Now, this is something I was going to put on Twitter and I couldn't because it took too long. Even with the extended Twitter character count, I couldn't do it. But basically I said, Henderson is not a shit player. There's no way. There's no way on this planet he's a shit player. I also don't think he's an incredible player. I think Mohamed Salah is incredible. I think Virgil van Dijk is incredible. We'll leave people like Trent out because I think that's going to cause too much of a freaking uproar.
Well, Firmino's incredible.
Firmino's incredible. Sadio Mane's incredible. You know, Naby Keita has the potential to be incredible. I don't think Jordan Henderson is an incredible player. I don't think he's a shit player. I don't think he's an incredible player. However, he has played incredible games. So, you know, everyone plays incredible games and that's fine. Yeah. And he has.
Yeah.
He's done it and he's done it on a lot of times. But... not consistently enough, in my opinion. I think when Mohamed Salah, people are saying he's poor right now. What's he got? 2 goals, 2 assists in 4 games.
Well, by the way, he's on the exact same amount as he was last season that he broke the record for. Yeah. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. But that's how incredible he is that he's on 2 goals, 2 assists. And by the way, he's still missing all those chances as well. Last season, he was the player who missed the most chances in the Premier League and he scored the most goals. So he's still doing his thing. He's just not putting the ball in the back of the net. That's when you can tell someone's incredible, when they're still fantastic, even though people feel like, they're like, oh, by his high standards, he's playing poorly. That's when you're incredible.
And that's just another example of Twitter for you.
That's a whole completely different story. But, you know, Jordan Henderson has played incredible games. However, going back to the whole shit incredible, he's played shit games. I thought it was a shit game against Leicester. He plays shit games, he plays incredible games. But he's not either one. He's fine, he's good. He's a good player. I rate him. I think he's a really good player. I like the fact that he signed a new contract. If we sign a player that helped us get to the Champions League final, helped us get to second, if we re-sign that player and he's the club captain, and like Pete said, you know, that was a really good point about the yellow cards thing. You know, the team mentality, the ethic of the team is a lot better when he's around. Absolutely, yes. But does that mean I need to go on, you know, social media or whatever and say, this is the greatest deal. Fuck all you haters. Fuck this. I know it's a form of support, but you're also bringing attention to the haters by saying, fuck you, hater. You're bringing attention to them. That's how Trump got in. People said, fuck Trump. That's how fucking Trump got in. That's how these people get attention. They say a dumb thing and you bring attention to it. It's you know, the thing that annoys Pete and I don't mean to speak for you, yeah, but it's over complimenting someone to compensate for the hating. What you're doing is you're giving someone your opinion of the player is now blurred because you are saying that they're better than they are. He's a good player. He's not fucking Gerrard. He's not. And people, you know, that's a thing that people say. You know, like, oh, you, why compare him to Gerrard? It's like, yeah, but good. And we're not comparing him to Gerrard.
I wouldn't disrespect Gerrard.
But look, I really rate Henderson. It's funny because, you know, doing a show like this, you'll probably think that, you know, I hate the guy. I don't. I really think he's great. In my opinion, in the first three games, Gini Wijnaldum was doing fine in number six. Now, does that mean I hate Jordan Henderson now, Pete, if I say I don't want Henderson to take his position?
No.
No.
But people think that you're a hater.
People think that I would be a hater if I said something like that. Why would you change it? Gini Wijnaldum is someone who sits in his position, doesn't move, he doesn't do much, and he'll do the job that you tell him. You put that at RCM, what a boring player. He's literally doing the job of that sitting midfielder because he's doing that for three games in a row. And
brilliantly, by the way.
Brilliantly. Really well. We've clean sheets, everything. And there was a rush to get Henderson back in. And I understand why, club captain, blah, blah, blah. But it didn't need to happen. And my opinion is, Henderson's a good player. And if he's playing well, fucking keep him in the side. But this team, no player in this team should be above being dropped. And if someone like Wijnaldum was performing for those three games, then there's no reason to switch it. Now, look, there's probably other things. There's probably fitness reports. There's probably, you know, using Henderson's height, using his leadership, using his ability to get the ball, spray it to your fullbacks really, really quickly. I understand all that. But in my opinion, from what we've seen from the first three games, we really enjoyed Gini Wijnaldum there. And to say that Wijnaldum was doing a good job and I didn't want to see Henderson replace him does not mean I'm a hater. And we need to stop doing that. Yeah, basically.
At the end of the day, when you've gone 3-for-3 and you haven't copped a goal, and then midfield, and you've controlled majority of the games with a certain player as the central pivot of the midfield, and you turn around and you say the following week, I just wish you're still there. It doesn't mean you hate the guy that's going to replace him.
No,
just means you prefer this specific player for this specific role. And at the end of the day, I remember saying it. We watched it at Cheese Bar, and I said, "Why is Wijnaldum not the six?" Didn't even mention his name.
Mm.
And somebody has gone, oh, but Henderson's the captain. He has to play.
Yeah.
Show me the rule.
Yeah.
Show me the rule where it says, if you're captain, you have to play.
Mm.
And if you can show me the rule, I'm sorry. I'll stop everything I do.
Well, it gets to a point now where, you know, we don't want this to become a show of, we were going to do a number six show maybe later on, but we want to keep this to Henderson. But we want to discuss his pros and his cons here. We want to get back into Jordan Hendersonville because the cold hard truth of it is he has signed a new contract, so he's in Jurgen Klopp's plans. But we've got Gini Wijnaldum doing, in my opinion, such a good job at the six. He did it in the Champions League against the hardest team in the world, Manchester City. They are the hardest team in the world. And the thing is, he didn't play in that position for the final, so we'd never know what that would have been like. But he was deputising. We didn't have a Chan. We didn't have Henderson. We didn't have KT yet. Obviously, we didn't have Fabinho back then. So Wijnaldum was a quick fix, but he did it well. Did it well against Everton. Did it well against Manchester City. He's said it for a while because of his attributes. He's someone who's quick. He's got good recovery pace.
Both feet.
He uses both feet. And you know what he does? There's a thing that, look, we'll get into that later. We'll get into the things that Wijnaldum does compared to Henderson. But you know, basically all we were saying was we didn't want to see him move from that position. Yeah. But going back now to Jordan Henderson, pros and cons. Obviously, we'll go to pros. One thing that I personally like about Jordan Henderson is quick play of the ball. And sometimes that can be good, although we did see a negative of that on the weekend, something that you mentioned with the goalkeeper mistake. But, you know, sometimes that's good to just get the ball. We've seen Jorginho. It's really funny to compare someone like Henderson to Jorginho because Jorginho plays the ball quickly, but he turns, plays the ball quickly. For me, something that I'm talking about a positive ended up in a negative. But, you know, Henderson, sometimes it's good in tight spaces to be able to just pick out someone that no one else has seen and just play the ball quickly to them. That's good. I like that. Especially the fullbacks for Jordan Henderson.
What I like about him?
Hmm.
I like that he does the best he possibly can to keep the ball moving. Like,
yes.
He will, whether people want to blame it as a sideways pass or whatever it is, I feel some midfielders are guilty of stopping the ball and then looking for a pass.
Hmm.
With Henderson, it's more so...
Emre Can used to do that.
Well,
and it can be a positive.
Yeah, well, Henderson's more gone, well, this is the only pass I can see for now. I don't want to stop the ball. I'm just going to move it.
Hmm.
And whether he moves it in the right direction or not, at least the ball's still moving.
Hmm.
But he does to try and keep that ball constantly in action.
This is something that, you know, when we talk about... It's actually something that we I don't know if we disagree on it or not, but it's something that I feel stronger about. I think his long-range passing is incredible. I think that there was a moment where when we signed him, he was a box-to-box midfielder, but he actually played right mid for Sunderland in like a 4-4-2. And what he was doing was he was hitting these curved, these whipped passes in from the right. We haven't seen too much of that from him under Jurgen Klopp because he's been more central. We started to see it a little bit under Rodgers, but it's like a Trent style delivery. Gerrard used to do the same thing, but we didn't see many laces drives from him like that driven pass, that Gerrard-esque pass. But what was amazing was as Gerrard started to learn that position, that number six, and Henderson was taking his box to box role, as it were, we started to see Henderson learn that pass. And I just put two and two together here. I would love to ask Jordan Henderson this question of did Gerrard teach you how to hit that pass? But when he does it, you know, I think he does it pretty well. You know, I think he's at this stage. I don't know any other. I mean, you said Virgil van Dijk is another one that does that. You know, Joe Gomez tried a few of them. He hasn't learned yet. He's 21, so we'll wait to see on that. I think Henderson's got. I think he's got the best ability in the team behind Virgil van Dijk to hit that. We'll find out whether Naby Keita and Fabinho can do something similar. Even Chamberlain's actually pretty good at that, but we're not going
to
see.
Well, we've seen Mane is more than able to do that as well when he cuts in and switches that over to Salah and whatnot.
And it always gets like talked down upon when it's a winger doing it.
Yeah.
Salah's done it actually quite a few times. And it's just when you're a good footballer, you know how to do it.
Exactly right.
The thing that you said that is underrated is because Dirk Kuyt was one of these players. He was someone that embodied the ethos of the team. And sometimes in your skill level, just say your skill level's a 7, you know, that's where you take a bit of a hit because you could have someone who's an 8 or a 9. Let's just say Nani versus Dirk Kuyt. Back in the day, you used to always have the conversations with the United supporters. Would you rather have Dirk Kuyt or Nani in your side? By the way, Dirk Kuyt scored more goals than Nani in more seasons than not. But, you know, for pure skill, you would say Nani. But that's only one attribute that you're taking into it. The other one is, you know, what do you do for the team? Like you said, the whole thing of, you know, reducing stress levels in a team. Henderson takes, you know, there's the much talked about, I'll do the press conferences, I'll do this. But also on the field, I'll give the referee shit. You know, I'll step into that, you know, if there's a little bit of a brawl or a fight or whatever, the fourth official says something, if Klopp says something, if he needs to, he can communicate tactics from the manager really, really well. These sorts of things are another attribute, like a leadership attribute or a presence attribute. Dirk Kuyt used to have that, and Jordan Henderson has that as well. That's underrated, and it's great to get him on the field for that reason. So that's another thing that I personally love about Jordan Henderson.
One thing I like that we've seen him do on numerous occasions is that he does anticipate when we're in danger, and he does anticipate passes quite well. So we've seen him intercept.
Hmm. He's quite mobile. He's pretty quick.
We've seen him intercept the ball. We've seen him do it many, many times. And I think that's another pro as well. Mm. But I just think that you said it nicely. I think he's, a 6, 7 out of 10 player at best?
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with having one of those if he's 6 and 7 out of 10 every single week.
I thought Dirk Kuyt was a 7. Yeah. I'm not going to go 6, but I thought 7. I'll call Henderson 7. But some people will say that means you hate him. Yes, no.
Yeah.
So this, these are things, because his presence, his leadership, those sorts of things, they can bump that seven up to, you know, to other levels. They can give it an 8 and a 9 in some instances. But as a pure player,
this is the part that bothers me. And this is the part that's pissed me off for a while. When you go look at the Twitter polls, and any of the polls that you've got, you know, does Jordan Henderson feature in our strongest 11? Majority of the time, no is more outvoted than yes, right? So you've got that. Then you've got, for example, is... you know, Jordan Henderson, the key part.
It's dangerous content, by the
way. No, but like, I'm just seeing what I see. I'm telling what I see on Twitter. And then a lot of the time, there was a thing was, is this five-year deal the best thing we could have at the moment, whatever it is. And a lot of the time, it was disagree and agree, and a lot of it was disagree. So at the moment, there's a lot of anti...
That goes against what I said, where I said I don't see much negativity. Well, there you go, but there was.
It's because I went through a rabbit hole the other day just out of pure frustration, and I just looked into everything. And you got all this stuff where it's no, no, no. But the lot, I reckon, majority of the people that vote no are the same people that go, "Well, the fuck the haters." I just feel like we're in a place here where you just like for us doing this to try and, you know.
Can there be a? I want you to continue on that, but can there just be a poll where it says yes, no, it's fine, just fine? Like, is it the greatest thing ever? No. Is it the worst thing ever? No. Is it fine? Yeah.
Like the best part.
I'll choose fine.
Like, remember when we were heavily involved with FQ?
Yeah.
And everybody's strongest Liverpool 11 did not have Henderson in it. Yet there were people saying, but he's a club captain. How can you hate him? But if you go on their Twitter page and you look at their 11, it doesn't have him in it.
Yeah. It's just because you don't have him in the team doesn't mean you hate him.
I don't understand.
You know how many people didn't have, Luis Garcia in our, like, best teams? I loved the guy, but there were times where, you know, he didn't feature in our best 11 in that Champions League run. That doesn't mean he's a shit player or you hate him. He was an impact player.
And when Fabinho's ready to play, and it's not far off, according to Jurgen Klopp anyway, that six problem's going to be solved. I believe Fabinho's going to be that one that... And this is what I've said on previous pods, though. I don't want to see Jordan Henderson as a 6. I don't. I want to see him as a more in an advanced position.
As an 8.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now people hear that first part and be on their rant in the head, who would fucking you? Then they hear my next part, like, oh. So he still wants him to see him play.
But then do you want him? So if Chamberlain's back and Wijnaldum maybe, I don't know where he plays, but you've got Chamberlain, Cater, and then in other formations, you've also got the option of Shaqiri. How many others do we have? Milner.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have Henderson ahead of Milner?
Cater? Yes, I would have Henderson in front of Milner.
Yeah, as an RCM.
I
would,
because obviously Milner's... I think we said on the last part, I think Milner's the perfect 1-in-3 player. Like, I don't want to see Milner play too many games because it does die out a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Henderson can play every single week, whether it's 60 minutes, whether it's 20 minutes, whether it's 90 minutes. Henderson should play every week.
So there's this thing of, you just said there, you don't want to see Henderson play the six. Now, I want to explore this a little bit more because I'm not that strong with it. I feel like the two sixes are Henderson and Fabinho.
If we play two.
I meant 1 week Fabinho, the other week it's Henderson, so one of them will have to rest.
Well, look at this, for example, now. In our next 21 days, we have 7 games.
We're going to have to be switching.
Thank you.
However, this is what I want to get into because it does become a bit more of a conversation about the six. But obviously, this is a more of a focus on Henderson. And I put it this way. I'm pretty sure I've said it on a pod before. But, this is in conversations at Cheers and, in pubs and stuff with Liverpool supporters. This is how I articulate it. I feel like the potential for Henderson and Fabinho to be just as effective for Liverpool is there. There's potential for it. I personally feel like, because of his age and because of his scope and where he's played Champions League, I feel like Fabinho will be a better six than Henderson. As it stands, I don't know which one's better. I haven't seen Fabinho play enough. I've seen him play enough in Monaco's system. I think he said he played in a 2 there.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So it's different. He's actually said that. That's what I've had to come to grips with. However, looking at the two players right now, I feel like they can do the same job. However, Fabinho stays put when he does the job. So let's just say I need to cover my job right now. This is very, very simple layman's terms. I'm a DM, I'm a 6, and I've got to protect my 2 centre-backs and my back line. Fabinho will do it by sitting in that spot. And he'll see danger to the left, and he'll shift a little bit, and he'll give a look. No one can see me, right? Great for video. You can see how I'm doing. It's like a squint. He's looking there. He goes, there's a bit of danger there. He talks to Van Dijk. He goes, what's going on there? All in the moment, he talks to Robertson. He come back a little bit. What's going on here? Should I go there? Maybe I'll go have a sniff. Nah, it's not that bad. I'll come back. And that's what he does. And that's what your Alonso's used to do.
Yeah.
That sniff. You're not moving too much. Henderson, like a dog, he'll run over to that spot and go, what's going on here? Is there any danger here? And then he'll run back. And then he'll run to the other spot. So basically, they'll both probably keep the danger out. However, Fabinho sits in his spot because obviously his mobility is not as, he doesn't run as much as Henderson. However, Henderson will run there, sort it out, come back. Run there, sort it out, come back. Run, come back, come back, come back. So they're both performing the same role. However, one of them is completing the job by expending less energy and probably not leaving his position as much. The other one, if Henderson can get back into his position, there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. In my opinion, going forward, I feel like the Henderson approach is more risky because he leaves his zone, then comes back to it. You can see from his heat maps, he's all over the place, which is fine. He may have the Gerrard symptom, maybe a Gerrard symptom, a Gerrard problem in his head, where Steven Gerrard could, he became a decent six later on, but a lot of people didn't like to see him anchoring center middle of the park because he didn't have the discipline to sit, stay put. And Gerrard himself says it in his book. He says it, he goes, I don't like the idea of someone up there, some spastic up there who can't tackle and they're going to let the player go. I got to run over there and fix it. And Rafa used to say to him, don't fucking move. He's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to tackle it. I'm going to tackle the player, get the ball, cross it in, we're going to score. And that's fine. Henderson is not as good as Gerrard, but he does that same sort of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just feel like he leaves his zone too much doing that.
That's an English mentality too. That's the ethos of an English footballer too. Mm. It's cover every blade of every.
Being
blade
very
of
stereotypical, I'm sure there's English players who like to sit back and patrol.
I'm not saying anything negative at all. Mm. I'm just saying that's part of their mentality, their ethos. Like, you know, everyone knows Australian footballers, the majority of them are.
They run a lot.
Hardworking, fit,
yeah.
Physical. Well, it's the same there. They like to cover every blade of grass.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not saying anything negative.
Now, I noticed that you look at Gini Wijnaldum playing the six. So there's a really good little, if you look at the, it could be the 66th minute. I really hope it is. But there's a moment in the game where Henderson is our six and he's given the ball to Trent. And then immediately he's asking for it back. And he goes, give it back to me right now. Go, let's go, let's go. Because he wants to give it to the other side. And he sprints over to Trent. So basically Henderson plays it from sixth position to right back. And our right back's basically our right winger. Yeah. And Henderson runs up to him and offers that diagonal pass backwards, which is fine. But Trent looked at him a little bit. He's like, what are you doing here? I want to give the ball to you. I want to go forward. By giving it to Henderson, the forward momentum goes a little bit. And there was that demand from Henderson to do that. And by the way, the ability, that the fitness for Henderson to play it out of his zone, come screaming up to Trent and ask for the ball, that is, it's admirable, absolutely. However, watching Wijnaldum do the same thing, he gives the ball and stays. He doesn't want to have anything to do. He gives it to Trent and he goes, okay, I'm a six. You go forward, I'm a six, I'm sitting back. So again, there's that mentality change. Which one's better? Look, that's up to you. That I think at the moment, they're performing the same function. Against Leicester, I don't think it worked for Henderson, that busybody sort of thing. If Henderson can learn to just sit still a little bit, possibly. But as the captain, maybe he feels the need to go and, you know, go and tackle that and go and cover this blade of grass and go and cover that zone and that spot. You know,
and I actually, this is not off topic, but it's still on Jordan. But the thing was, for me, I read something. I looked at it, I thought, nah, come on, it can't be serious. But then I thought that at the same time, there is a little bit of something behind the message behind that was posted. It was, I love Jordan Henderson. This guy wrote this. I wish I could remember who the bloody hell it was. I love Jordan Henderson, but if we took the armband off him, would it help his performances?
You know what? It could.
Because then he referred to the season, obviously, when he scored the 12 goals in a year.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
That's a really interesting point.
And some people hear that and go, oh my God. It's just a discussion.
Well,
it's just a football question.
The thing is, I think, well, Sammy Herpier was a great captain for Liverpool, yeah. But Gerard Houllier noticed the strength of giving a Scouser, a local lad, yeah. and a driving force like Gerard armband. However, I think, I'm not sure if I've read it somewhere, but Julia actually then went, like, brought Hoopier aside and said, don't worry, you're still my captain.
Yeah, he did.
But Gerard, and I don't think Gerard had a problem with that. I'm sure Gerard knew about that as well, yeah. But it was more important to have the local lad leading the team.
Yeah.
But Hoopier still patrolled and managed that back line.
And obviously one of our best centre-backs of all time.
Exactly. You know, but that's a really interesting point with Henderson. Taking the armband off and giving it to someone like Van Dijk or something like that, and taking that pressure off, because I feel like there's also this thing of Michael Carrick was the club captain for Manchester United last season. Didn't wear the armband.
Yeah.
Because he hardly played.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that Henderson's going to hardly play, but if we can come up with, because I'm pretty sure Rugby League do this. Rugby League do this. I don't want to give any credit to that shit sport. But Rugby League do this. They have a club captain and a team captain or something. So you've got a captain of the club. So that's you, that's the person who everyone, you know, you're the captain, you're the person. But then there's someone on the pitch who's like, okay, you know, maybe it's the pressure can be on me for this game.
Yeah, like even
would it help Henderson to just go, yeah, take that pressure off you so you can just focus on your game and not feel like you need to be Steven Gerrard here?
Well, that's because your point of him trying to be over busy for the sake of maybe sometimes for the sake of being over busy could be down to that though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when you look at someone like Van Dijk, his personality, nothing fazes him ever. Like his press conferences, like, oh, do you think Salah's was a penalty? Because who cares? We scored.
Hmm.
Like just that whole...
That is so true.
Just that whole...
That's a that's a leader there. That's
And?
What do I give a shit?
What's your point?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I like...
As opposed to like a response. I'm not saying Henderson has done this response, but a possible response to that where you've heard it. You've heard people who aren't as cool in the background.
Really see it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's sort of... It could be this or that, you know, six of one, two, three is the other, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, so look, again.
Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Whereas Van Dijk's like, we won.
Who cares, we won.
And he says like four words. And
that was his, that was his response. Who cares, we won.
Yeah.
That was it. Like
excellent.
That's what the fans say, the exact same thing. Who cares, we won.
Now, Jordan Henderson, there's something I don't like about Jordan Henderson is his turning ability. Now, it's that thing of, it's your Cruyff turn. I mean, your Cruyff turn is, Lallana does it big time because his whole body sells into it. Yeah, Alisson as well. Yeah, but the thing is, now every player can do a turn like that and it doesn't have to be full Cruyff. It can just be a little sort of change of direction. I don't like that Henderson needs to turn around. He goes like every degree of the clock to turn around. He's sort of like tap, 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 and now I've turned.
If it was the right foot every time.
It's the right foot, that sort of thing. Whereas there's that big turn. I've seen Ginny do it a few times. So
just the check of the shoulder and off he goes.
But the thing is, that didn't affect him in that season. I didn't notice him doing it too much. And the thing is, Henderson can do that. He can do that turn. It's just in his mind, in that pressure moment, it's not the first thing he thinks of, which is fine.
But he does that turn well in space.
In space, yeah.
Not when he's pressed.
Pressed, yeah. But I'm just trying to say, because it didn't matter in that season. 13-14, he's playing our eight. He's playing that eight position of the midfield three. He's bombing on. He didn't need it then. And I thought he was fantastic in that season. What he was doing was, he's got such a great knack. And he still does it now as a six. He's a good presser. So as the six, if you're pressing like a madman, you're leaving your zone, you're leaving our defense exposed. However, if you're the eight and you're pressing like a madman, like Lallana does, it's really good.
Milner
as well, is really good. It's very, very effective. But also, his ability, that Tim Cahill-esque ability to be a midfielder or a behind the striker. Cahill turned into a striker later on. But to be that person and then just be on the shoulder and have a random run. We saw him arrive late many times in 13-14. So this is a long roundabout way of me just saying I don't like the way that he can't turn. It didn't matter, though. And so the question is, right now, can he be a success for us as that eight position? And what is it about his game that could serve him well in that position? I'm worried he hasn't been there for a while and he's lost a bit of that dynamism that you need.
Well, I think,
and that's not different to that energy that he has. Dynamism means literally speed. He's still pacey, but he's not quick. He's not as quick.
I just think if he plays higher up the park, he'd be like an upgrade on Milner, pretty much. Because you know, Milner presses the ball well.
Yep.
And he wins a lot of ball high up the park.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Henderson did the exact same. I think when he does what he does best up there, I think it will help the team because he's closer to Salah, Firmino, Mane, and whoever else could be up there, Shaqiri, whoever it's going to be. He's closer to them and to the opposition goal when he does his pressing up there. You know what I mean? So that's why because he closes down players really well. If he can do that high up the park, no problem. And you have someone like Fabinho behind with a bit more calm, more relaxed on the ball, and he will play whether he's pressed or not. He can turn out of trouble. He can use both feet, change the ball using both feet instead of, like you said, the turn like a clock, whatever it was.
Yeah,
I think Jordan Henderson, for me, has more value to the team on the pitch, higher up the park, right, instead of closer to our goal.
In our best 11, does he get into your number eight position?
This current squad?
Yes.
Yeah, between him and Wijnaldum, it will be one of those two, flip or coin. Otherwise, it's Keita and Fabinho for me.
Keita, Fabinho, and then Henderson could be that player.
Yeah.
Now, the thing what we've also seen is, Henderson has come on in these games. He's sort of, when he's come on in the first three, so he started the fourth when he came off, he was brought off, and it wasn't his best game. But in those other three, I mentioned this. Actually, this was on our pre-Leicester podcast, and I said, fuck, I've loved Henderson's cameos. I thought they were incredible. I thought they were so good. And I sat there, and I was very selfish and greedy and sitting here going, you know, I don't think you can sell this to Henderson. I mean, I'm looking to the sky trying to find the words. Can you sell this to Henderson? Say to him, for this season, can you not start a game, but you come on for the last 20 of every game and literally win us the game from that position? Because I don't know what, it was just, he added so much in that stage of the game.
Just the energy.
He really did.
And a different presence.
And when did he get brought off? Literally last 20. 60, that's when we wanted to see him. So all that energy, that busybody nature for 66 minutes didn't serve us too well. It has served us well in the past. I want to keep these disclaimers in case people go, you fucking hate Henderson, whatever. Yeah. You know, no. It served us very well in the past.
But George, why can't people say against Leicester, Henderson was shit?
Yeah.
Why can't you say that?
Yeah.
And were there other players that were shit? Yeah, obviously. But why can't you just say he was shit? Instead of people saying, but it was his first game. No, he's played over 200 games for Liverpool.
Mm.
It's not his first game. You can say the first thing for Naby Keita, for example, and Fabinho in his first 10 games, oh, he's just warming up and blah, blah, blah. And Firmino, when he came back late from World Cup and threw him straight into a starting 11, I understand that.
Mm.
Alisson, for example, a bit rusty in certain areas at the moment still. Yes, you can say these things. But to say it's Henderson's first game, that's just, now you're looking for something to say.
Mm.
It's not his first game. You're the fucking club captain. You've been in training for 4 weeks, 5 weeks since after you come back from World Cup. And you've played over 200 games for the club.
But surely, I mean, I understand you've played 200 games for the club, but when you haven't played for 4 or 5 weeks in this side with these players, surely there's a curve. There's a getting back into it.
In that game, there was only one new player, Alisson.
Yeah, but you're slow. You've come out of preseason. You're still slow.
He still played up to 70 minutes before that game.
Like, for example, if you're in the swing of games, you've been playing 10 games in a row, wouldn't you be better playing 10 games in a row on the 11th game than someone who's come in just one game?
Yeah, but he's played 70 minutes prior to this game.
Yeah, but not a full start. Yeah,
but
start. Still,
but you can't say, you're the club captain, remember? This is the whole thing everyone's talking about.
Mm.
You cannot start the captain.
Yeah.
Well, and then you're going to make excuses, oh no, but it was his first game. I don't fall for that. You can't just admit it was a poor game.
Absolutely. It was definitely a poor game.
And then if he starts against Tottenham and he puts in a super, super, super performance, why can't you say, what a game from Jordan Henderson?
You know why? Because people then go, but you said he was shit last week. No, I said he had a shit game.
Yeah.
You know? And I can also imagine the thing of people saying, you know, if I was to say that busybody nature was really poor against Leicester, and then he does a busybody performance against Tottenham and it completely fucks them because they're, you know, they're 4-2-3-1, they're quite rigid, they're quite, you know, they've got all their positions, they know what they're doing, and Henderson's all over the place and he's disrupting them and it ends up winning us the game. There's no problem with then saying, yeah, the busybody thing worked for that game. You know, on average, in my opinion, I feel like the more calm, you know, composed six presence will serve us better in the future. But that busybody, it's clearly worked for us. He did the busybody thing for the whole of last season,
and
it got us to the Champions League final. It's fine. It's just moving forward. What do you prefer? You can prefer something else. And that's what we're saying. Yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Yes, Champions League final and scraping fourth. Like, it's, we need more from our midfielders. I think we need more goals and assists from our midfielders.
Hmm.
So can Jordan Henderson score goals and assists high up the park?
Hmm.
That's the question now.
Yeah.
So at the moment where he's at, there's zero assists and there's zero goals.
Hmm.
Maybe we can get more from him higher up the park, where Jurgen Klopp himself has come out and said, we need more goals from the midfield. Maybe this is it. Maybe that could be it. But because right now, like you said, Champions League final was great, but we did also scrape fourth and we're nowhere in the domestic cups.
Hmm.
We do need a better season than that.
Yeah.
So, and how do you get better? I think we need more, it sounds weird, but more goals.
Yeah.
We need to score more goals and they need to come from the middle of the park. So hopefully Naby Keita can be one of those people that can provide more goals. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain can definitely provide more goals. Just sad story for him, to be honest. But Henderson's the other one we need more goals from.
Hmm.
And assists.
And he's done it before. We've seen him do
that 13-14 season. Yeah. You're right.
Hmm.
But when Gerrard in his last season with Rodgers, when he played the defensive midfield, he got 13 goals, 13 assists in that season.
That's a really good point. Far out. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
There's no excuse in his position.
I mean, a lot of pens, but a lot of not pens.
8 penalties, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
There's 8, 19, 11, 12, 13, still 5 goals.
Yeah.
He scored a header.
Yeah. So, and John Henderson is in the box for corners. And
assists, I mean, what's that? I mean, 13 assists is 13 assists.
Yeah.
He's a better player.
obviously, but like, there's no debate about that one. If you don't want to debate about that, go fuck yourself. But
yeah.
No, but like, all I'm saying is that what we want more from Henderson is more goals and assists.
And the thing is, if we say Jordan Henderson at the six is not getting the best out of Henderson, some people again will say, you think he's shit. No, we feel like he's better served moving forward a little bit more.
I think, anyway, in my personal opinion...
He's getting limited in that position, but he's done a very good... You know what he's done as well? We haven't had a six at the club, and Henderson has covered that position. It's not... Before Klopp came in, he was not in that position. It was it's very simple. He was not that player.
No, he wasn't.
And he's doing a job for Jurgen Klopp. So, you know what? The signing of a five-year deal, some people see it as he's our six for 5 years. He's the quarterback. But what it could mean is Jurgen Klopp saying... You know what? You have been such a great utility player for me, and I love the idea of continuously using you as a utility player in the future. Which means I've got a six. Now, where can we find a spot for Henderson? And there's no problem with that. If you celebrate the deal as we can now have the ability to use Jordan Henderson in areas where he's better at performing. In a James Milner role, in a Lallana role, in a Ginny role.
Don't get me started on Lallana right now. But
we could do a whole another squad report on him. But, you know, there's no problem with saying that. By saying that also, you know, you're saying, I don't want to see him as the sixth for all that time. That's not a bad thing.
Well, no, if he was as good as some people are saying as a sixth, then why sign Fabinho for 40 million?
Yeah, very good point.
It's as simple as that.
Hmm.
I think with Milner on the end of his career... Signing this five-year deal pretty much says you're going to be our Milner soon.
Hmm. I always thought Lallana could be our Milner because he's a lot quicker. He's
fucked. You can't rely on him.
But the other thing is, okay. So having said that, Henderson's one of our. He's a cover for a six, but we want to see him as an eight. Our two sixes for me. Why can't we just have Fabinho and Ginny
all day?
Yeah,
and have Naby in front of them.
Hmm.
Why not?
Absolutely. And Naby can also play that. We've got two people who can cover it in Henderson and Ginny. Henderson and Keita. But you've got Ginny and Fabinho as our two sixes.
Yeah, but let's turn around now and say Fabinho is the success we hope he is this year, which I think he will be if Jurgen Klopp thinks, I think.
Mm.
We sign Rabiot.
Yeah, Rabiot.
We sign him. Where does Henderson play then?
Where does Rabiot play? I've not seen much of him. Eight, is it?
Yeah.
RCM, yeah. Sort of box to box. Yeah. Well, is there an issue of having him as a squad player, Jordan Henderson?
No.
There's no issue.
No.
How can he be club captain and be that role? I mean, it doesn't mean that anyone hates him if he's a squad player.
No.
No.
I think he's the perfect squad player.
Mm.
When we've got these 21 games coming up.
That's the end of the argument. Not the end, but that's basically what we're saying here. He's a perfect squad player. This still sounds like a criticism.
But it's
They've
not.
Got in my head. It's not a criticism. It's a good thing.
We need Jordan Henderson to be part of the squad. For example, we have a very difficult 21 days coming up. There will be days where Jordan Henderson needs to start. Chelsea away needs to start.
Yep.
Fucking oath. 100% needs to start Chelsea away. When we go play in Italy, needs to start. When we got our home games, for example, now against PSG and whatnot, I wouldn't start him against PSG. But... this is what I mean. In this very hectic block that we've got coming up, Jordan Henderson is going to play a pivotal role in these 21 games, in these 21 days. But that's me saying that there were some games I don't want him to start at all. When we got Chelsea double in a week, Herman away, I think why not start in both?
Hmm.
We need to start in both games. Because Fabinho won't be full ready, because I think Fabinho is going to start against PSG in his debut. But, you know, it's one of those ones where I just think, why can't we turn around and say... Jordan Henderson, great player for the team. Does he feature in our best 11, depending on the day, depending on the opposition? Where are we playing? Home, away? Yeah. I think that for me, why can't that could just be it? Why does it have to be you've got no idea because you don't like him? Or why does it have to be you've got no idea because you love him? Or whatever. Like, you just, I don't know, man.
It's just, you know what? I think you said it perfectly. It's either, you can just have an opinion on a player without hating them or loving them. And I think that's what we're basically trying to say here. And I think we've actually given a really, really good sort of summary on Jordan Henderson. I think we'll leave it there. We wanted to do a concise squad report, but it's a big topic at the moment. The Jordan Henderson stuff. At the end of the day, I love him. I really think he's a great player, and he's someone that I probably doubted a little bit at the beginning, especially just before 13-14, and he proved me wrong. And from that day, I find it hard to criticize and ridicule him, and I don't. But you know, to say a player did something wrong in a game is not hating on them. It's literally just what football's about. There's some things that work, some things that don't work. In my opinion, Jordan Henderson has worked for us. At the end of the day, the $20 million we paid for him is more than enough. Is more than paid it back. It's been a bargain. At the end of the day, he's a good club captain. He's a really good player. I think he performs the six well. I think he's fine there. I think he's a bit too busy in there, and I feel like a calming presence like Wijnaldum and Fabinho is a little bit better suited to that position. But there's nothing wrong with having Henderson there. I think he's done a great job. But still, I think that Klopp's told him, "You're doing a job for me there, but I prefer you." Not that he prefer him somewhere else, but I'm going to move you. He literally did say, "I've moved Jordan Henderson to that position because I feel like he can give us something there," and he has.
And maybe he's the most coachable player that he had in that squad that can do that role.
Absolutely, and I feel like we can see him in other positions, and we probably will. But you know, he's a good player, and we both think he's a really good player, but we don't think he's incredible. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to hear your opinions. This has been a sort of like an experimental show, but the squad report will always be coming at you. There'll always be a squad report.
We've got one coming up soon, don't we, George?
We've got another one coming up soon. We won't tell you what it is. You'll have to just see what the title is later on. But this has been the squad report on Jordan Henderson and that sixth position, basically. My name's been George. That's been Pete. This has been the LFC Couch for the squad report. We'll be back with another one very soon.